Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 364, stanzas 3 and 4. I wait for thee, my soul doth wait, thy word my hope in every strait. None watch, O Lord, at morning's gate, as I for thee. 3 and 4 of 364. To read from God's holy and precious word out of the book of Mark, the gospel according to Mark from the 15th chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 15, beginning with verse 15 up to and including verse 36. 15 to 36. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and it spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is, being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge filled with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." Thus far. We will now read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory and to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, and thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and unto our seed His covenant. Therefore, it is to be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of His church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father Vandenberg? Mother Vandenberg? Mother Van Driesten? Father Van Driesten? Dear parents, we have just heard read to us, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That was Christ himself, numbered with the transgressors. Why? Because we read, and with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. Thus, he with two thieves, all crucified together, that he may be counted, that he may be numbered among those who had transgressed. Christ, he was not forced to do this, but he did this willingly of his own accord. But this is not the first time that we read in the Bible that he was willing to be numbered with the transgressors. Because if we go back to the beginning of his ministry, then we will find there that he went down to the Jordan River. And he went there to be baptized of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he objected. He said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Thus John the Baptist understood that the Lord Jesus did not need to be baptized. He did not need to be washed. He did not need to be cleansed. But the Lord Jesus said, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Thus he numbered himself with the transgressors. In this afternoon you bring your children to be baptized. And when you do so, then you make a confession that you say that they are conceived, and they are born in sin, that little baby. Conceived and born in sin. Thus, as a parent, you, when you will have your child baptized, and then you number your child with the transgressors. And now it is through baptism that your child will be numbered with the church, because it is now through baptism this day that your child that becomes a member of the church, that is, in an outward way. But before that your child becomes a member, then you as parents, on behalf of that child, you must confess, as you have just done, that that child, he is also numbered, all our children, numbered with the transgressors. And now this is a picture for us, because it is not only to come into the visible church, but this is now the way that your child and also you yourselves, all of us, that we may be numbered amongst the true church. Then in the first place, we must number ourselves with the transgressors. And when we may now number ourselves with the transgressors, then the Lord, by that blood of his Son, he will number us with his true church. Teach this now to your child. That is what now that sign on the forehead of your child does mean. And you may give unto them this blessed instruction. May the Lord so bless you together. While the children are brought in, we would like to sing from Psalter 432, the third stanza. 432, stanza 3, for God's royal might serves his truth and right. Justice he maintains, righteously he reigns, manifesting grace to his chosen race. Jacob's seed he'll never from his covenant sever. The third stanza of 432. And after baptism, we asked you to stand and to sing 425, stanza 5. Ella Lynn, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Olivia Irene, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents to fulfill that duty and promise which they have made in these moments, which from our side is a great impossibility, for the responsibility is more then we are able to fulfill in our own strength, or that they may receive a place at Thy footstool for that which they cannot miss in the first place for their own heart and soul, that the power of Thy Spirit may be evident within their own life to give and to make them partakers of that blessed covenant themselves, that they may live a life that is an example unto their children, and that by word and deed together, that these children may be brought to love Thee and Thy holy truth, Thy word and Thy day, that Thou may remember all those that are related unto them, parents, grandparents, and there are also great-grandparents. Wilt Thou look upon them also and give them gladness in this day, when they are privileged to see their seed, even to several generations brought, to be confessed that they are indeed by nature full of sin. For who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? But now to be made a member of Thy church in an outward way. Oh, that in the bottom of their hearts, that cry also may go up, that this way may be sanctified unto their own seed, and that eternity will tell of the work of the Lord amongst them also as families. Lord, remember us as a congregation. Oh, then so often Thou dost give unto us this blessed sacrament to be administered yet in our midst, whereby Thou dost testify time and time again that Thou art bringing in Thy church unto the end of the world. It is a covenant that cannot be broken. It is a promise that is so eternally sure. It is founded upon a rock by Thee who has sworn by Thyself. O Lord, could it please Thee, Thou who hast said before Thee, every knee shall bow, oh, that it may be, that we may be included in our children, that there would indeed not be left one of us behind, when Thou broughtest them, O Lord, out of the land of Egypt, then there was not one, not the smallest one that was left behind. Oh, Thou didst bring them all out. Oh, could it please Thee, oh, that Thou may remember us together, who can bear it to think that there would be one of us that would be left behind on that great day of days. Oh, make us then earnest for the need of our souls, that all must come from Thee. Thou hast the power, and we are by nature dead in sins and in trespasses. There is no man that is able to give it unto himself. Can we raise ourselves, O Lord, from the dead? Oh, does that not belong to Thee? Thou givest life in this world. Thou givest these infants, these little children unto these parents. Oh, that there may be new births, Lord, that they may be born again in the midst of us as a congregation. Make it evident that Thou leavest us not, that Thou forsakest us not. Oh, give us that true confession, that we indeed may smite upon our breast, and that we may number ourselves with the transgressors. Oh, then there is mercy to be had in Thy only begotten Son. Oh, Thou dost give it by way of true repentance unto salvation. Remember us, O Lord. Give it also by renewal in the life of Thy own children. For Thou knowest that the tears they dry up. Oh, then it is the heart that does mourn under the hardness. O Lord, that Thou may look upon Thy church. Oh, wake her up again. When she has left her first love, when she has fallen asleep, with the five foolish virgins all together waiting for that bridegroom, and yet it is Thy people. Oh, Thou wilt never and never leave them. Oh, Lord, remember them. Give them a little token as thy servant did beg for, a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, that my heart may rejoice in thee. Look upon us in this afternoon. Wilt thou be with all those that rule and reign over us? Thou knowest all that will take place also in the week that is to come. Lord, when the election shall be held, we beseech thee. We have heard it in this morning hour. Thou art not only our creator, but also our sustainer and our provider. There is nothing that takes place in this whole world without thee. Even this very moment and all that will take place in the week that is to come, bring us back again, O Lord. We beseech thee to thy word, to thy truth. O bring thy word upon our judgment seats. Bring it in those places where our laws are made, and bring us to walk as a province, as a country, as a people, according to all thy statutes and all thy commandments. Remember the judges that still must make a decision, oh, that thou may guide them also therein. Care for us and all those that to bring thy word, O give, over the length and breadth of the earth more, that may be raised up in truth to proclaim thy law and gospel. Those on the mission fields, in the established congregations, and also our brother who will return in the day of tomorrow to the Netherlands. Wilt thou remember him and bring him safely upon his journey with his family? And wilt thou watch over and bless him in that place? And could it please thee also to remember us as a community when a call also has gone out from our sister congregation to one of thy servants? Come over and help us. O Lord, could it please thee to go along with it, and that thou may remember them and us in all these ways? Wilt thou show the way unto thy servant, and wilt thou provide in thy mercy, and wilt thou look upon us in the bringing of thy word in this afternoon? Lord, thou knowest that we have by nature no room in our heart. There is no place to receive it. Then we will sit with deaf ears. We will sit with a hard heart until the day, until the moment that thou dost say thus far and no further. We beseech thee that it could be the moment, the hour of thy good pleasure. One word from heaven, as a sharp two-edged sword, bring it in, Lord. Help us, give us strength, give us love, give us faithfulness, give us simplicity, and grant us thy presence, thy nearness, thy spirit, thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. The enemy has sought my soul in dust to tread. To darkness I am brought, forgotten as the dead. And what follows in 389 stanzas 2 through 4, and the last collection today is for the Fort McLeod Building Fund. Thank you. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Mark 15, and thereof the 34th verse. Mark 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So far the words of our text. God, forsaken of God. First, the cause of this forsaking. Second, the evidence of this forsaking. And third, the fruit of this forsaking. God, forsaken of God. First, the cause. Second, the evidence. And third, the fruit of this forsaking. Why hast thou forsaken me? To forsake someone, that is an awful thing. What does that mean, to forsake someone? That means to abandon them. That means to desert them, to leave them to themselves. And that is especially an awful thing when that person is lying in their helplessness, when they are lying in their misery, and then we just leave them to their own power, and they are not able to help themselves. Christ was forsaken by his own disciples. He has told them that beforehand. He said that the time was come, yea, that time now is, when you shall be scattered, each one to his own, and you shall leave me alone. And so they did. They did when the enemy took him, and they were offended in him that he has just given himself over to that enemy. And then they were not able to do as they said, as Peter said, that he was going to die with him. But when it came to the moment, then Peter could not die with him. And then he also forsook him. And yet the Lord Jesus, he had said, yet I am not alone. Why not? Because he said, the Father is with me. That was his comfort. That was his consolation. That though all men should forsake him, yet his Father, he was yet with him, and his Father, he has upheld him throughout his sufferings. When the Lord Jesus, he was troubled in his spirit, then we read that the Father, he appeared and he spoke to him. And when the Lord Jesus' soul was troubled in the garden, then we read that the Father knew, and he sent an angel to strengthen him. And now what do we read? My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Where is he? He is now hanging upon the cross of Calvary. Who can deny the extent of the suffering of the Son of God now? The Lamb of God, who he went as a lamb to the slaughter, who opened not his mouth, who did not complain when his disciples, they forsook him, who did not say anything when they mocked him, when they crowned him with a crown of thorns, no word out of his mouth when they spit upon him, and when they buffeted him, when they drove the nails through his hands and his feet, and then there was no sound, there was no complaint out of his mouth. But now he cries out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Thus, at the height of his suffering, of his soul suffering, but also of that physical suffering, of the excruciating pain which he had to endure, then he is crying out to his Father. Why? Because there was no answer. And when he cries out to his Father here, then we also read of no answer from his Father. We say, God forsaken of God. That is incomprehensible. There is a sense in which this, of course, is not possible at all. The Lord Jesus, he said, "I and my Father are one." Thus they are not able to be separated from one another because they are one who is indivisible. And yet as the sin-bearing surety of his church, yet the Father has at this time withdrawn from him his felt presence. His Father has at this time hid from him his face. That the Lord Jesus may do as was prophesied of him, that he would have to tread that winepress alone. Thus the sense of the favor of the Father, that is now withdrawn. In a common way, in a spiritual way, God appears to him and deals with him as a judge, that he will punish him. Christ here, he is expressing what we read that our fathers have expressed in our Apostles' Creed, where we read he descended into hell. What is that hell? That can be expressed in different ways. We can express what hell is in, well, we would say a negative way and in a positive way. That means in the things that are not in hell, the things that will be missing there, that is to express it in a negative manner. And then it is possible to express it in a positive manner, that is the things that will be present there. Thus hell, that is in the first place where something will be missing, that there will be a forsaking. It is a place where God has forsaken man, so that there is nothing to be experienced there of his good pleasure. There is nothing to be experienced there of his favor. There is no light of his countenance, that is, for the soul of mankind. But then it is not only in a spiritual way, but that is also in a natural way, because there are so many things that man, he enjoys in this world in a common way from the Lord, that will be so missing in that place. All of the temporal benefits that man is receiving, even without the special grace of God, that in the common grace of God, that he gives to us what is necessary for all this life, That we have food and drink and clothing and shelter and all the pleasures and the enjoyments that can be received in a natural way, even in a positive, in a right way in this world, all missing. That is, in that sense, God, He will forsake, amen, to ever and forever leave Him over to Himself in His wretchedness, in His misery. But is that now expressed in a positive way? That means that there will also be present in that place that which is stemming from the anger and the displeasure of the Lord, that there will be a positive punishment. It is not only a withdrawal of the sense of His favor, no, but it is an imposing of that awful sense of His disfavor, of His disapprobation. And then in a physical way also, so that the scriptures say that there will be weeping and there will be wailing and there will be gnashing of teeth. That is a place, children, you may cry today to your mother, today to your father, when you are hurt, when you are anxious, when you are needy. And as soon as they hear you cry, then they are coming to your aid. But in that awful place, there is no answer. There is no favor to be had of the Lord anymore. And this the Lord Jesus Himself, He has experienced when He was upon that cursed tree. So that He is here expressing what that is. And when He has cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Our first point, that is the cause of this suffering. What is now the cause of the forsaking of God? What is the cause that the Lord, He has sent Adam and Eve out of paradise? Well, you say the cause of this separation, that is sin, that is right, because God, He cannot but forsake a man. When there is sin. Why? Because sin that is highly offensive unto Him. That is, He must punish it. It is against His righteous. It is against His holy law. And it is not only offensive to Him and His justice, but it is offensive to His holiness. So that not only must He punish it, but He also cannot dwell with it. As a man polluted, then that man, he must be cast out of that sight of God. And now it is upon the cross of Calvary that we read Christ, He has especially taken upon Himself. And there was laid upon Him, Isaiah says, the iniquity of us all, that is, of that entire church of God, the sin, the transgression, the iniquity of that church that was laid upon Him in a special way when He was hanging upon that cross. And therefore the Father, He views Him in a special way when He is hanging there as guilty of all the sin that His church has committed. He views Him as filthy. He views Him as polluted with all the pollution, the stench that is within that true church of God. Everything that is coming forth from that people, that is all now viewed by His Father as lying upon His Son. Oh, how is it then possible that the Father, He would shine His face, His kindly face upon Him now? How is it then possible that he will have communion with him when he is so full of guilt and when he is so full of the sin of his church? It is the opposite. Then he has become the object of his wrath. He has become the object of his great displeasure. No, not that the Father ceased to love him. Not that the Father ceased to uphold him, but he could not commune with him. He could in that moment not speak unto him in a kindly way. Oh, that is now the curse. That is the curse that was born by that mediator for the sin of his church. That is what Isaiah says. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear that is not heavy that it cannot hear." He says, "But your sins, they have separated between God and yourself, and your iniquities, they have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." That is the cause. And that is expressed further here in God's word under a symbol. We see that in our second thought. The evidence for this forsaking. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Thus, darkness for 3 hours. The sixth hour that was in our time, that would be 12 o'clock noon. The ninth hour, and that was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, thus for 3 hours. And that was now the brightest part of the day, children. When the sun that was the highest in the sky, 12 o'clock during the day, that it becomes like it is nighttime. Then the sun that is withdrawing her light and it is not shining. What was this? There are some that say, well, that must have been an eclipse of the sun. That must have been a solar eclipse. Because there are always people. They are ready to try to make what is supernatural into something which is natural, which is happening all the time. And even if the Lord uses means, young people, that does not mean that it is not by the direct hand of the Lord. But this is not a solar eclipse. Say, how do you know that? That is not too difficult, because that Passover time wherein this is taking place, and that is the time always of the full moon. But a solar eclipse, that is always taking place in the time of the new moon. And thus, this was no solar eclipse. No, but it is directly a supernatural act of God himself. We do not know how much of that earth it was covered with darkness. But Tertullius, he appeals to the Roman archives to prove and to show that this took place. So it seems that it was at the very least taking place over the Roman Empire, Chrysostom. He says that this was an evidence of the disfavor of the Lord, the anger of the Lord, when they have taken his own son, and so that the son itself that has never seen anything like this from the time that it was made in the beginning of creation, so that the sun itself, as it were, has closed its eye, has not been able to look upon the deed which was done unto the Son of God. Darkness. Darkness is an emblem of the disfavor of the Lord. Darkness is an emblem of the hiding of the face of the Lord to His own people. And then the Lord says, have I been a wilderness unto you? A land of darkness? Have I been a God who has not shown His light, His favor on you? A land of darkness that has always shown His disfavor? What do we read about hell? We read that it is a place of outer darkness when the Lord Jesus came into the world. Then we read that the heavens, they were filled with light. And so that the people who sat in darkness, it was prophesied, said that they should see a great light. And when the Lord Jesus died upon this cross, and then we can read that the heavens, they are filled with darkness. How the people must have trembled. How would we tremble if we would now see that outside it all of a sudden did become pitch black? Children, how would we tremble if all of a sudden in the middle of the day, then we saw that it had become like it was just at night? We read in God's word of Dionysius the Areopagite that he saw this in the land of Egypt. And then he said, either the divine nature is suffering or the machinery of this world is falling into ruin. But the machinery of this world was not yet falling into ruin. That still yet has to come. But it is indeed as he has declared. The Lord Jesus, he is here. We read at the ninth hour that the Lord Jesus, he is crying with this loud voice. So from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, this darkness. And it is just as this darkness is coming unto its end that the Lord Jesus is here crying out under it, and that he is giving the explanation, Dionysius. Not that the machinery of this world is coming into ruin, but indeed that God, that the Son of God, that he is suffering an inexcusable pain in his human nature, in his soul. He is suffering that punishment, which is the greatest of all punishments. That is, that a man is forsaken. That he is forsaken of God himself. That he is forsaken of his Father. That he is experiencing what is the very definition of hell itself. Is that not darkness? Is that not the greatest darkness that can be borne by the crown of the creation of this world? Who was created in his image? Who was created in his communion? Is that now a darkness which is also experienced by yourself and which is the burden of your heart? Let us sing first 47, 1, 4, and 8. My God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1, 4, and 8 of Psalter 47. our last thought, the fruit of this forsaking congregation, what is now the blackest page in the Bible. You will say, maybe, children, I think it is Genesis chapter 3. Maybe you ask sometimes, why did that have to happen? That Adam, he has rebelled against the Lord. That he has sinned as our covenant head. And that all kinds of misery has thereby now come into this world. That is indeed a black page in the Bible. The clouds, the dark clouds, they have come then over the heads of all mankind. And man, he had in that time to be sent out of that blessed communion with the Lord. Because the Lord, he cannot dwell with sin. And yet, on that same page of the Bible, there is revealed the attribute of the grace of God, of the mercy of God, that is in that promise that he will send the seed of the woman into this world. Thus, on that same black page, the Lord, he has declared that he will never, never forsake his own church. It may be argued whether this page that we have now read together out of the Word of God is not blacker than Genesis 3. The rejection of the Son of God. What sin could possibly now be greater than the betrayal, than the crucifixion of the very Son of God that he has sent into this world to seek and to save that which is lost? What sin could possibly be greater than for a fallen man in his wretchedness and in his misery to completely reject the redemption and the salvation of the Lord himself? Thus, by this sin, man makes himself a 1,000 times more worthy to be forever and forever forsaken of God. And yet, on the other hand, here is now revealed a remedy for just that people who may be so instructed in their life, in their heart, in their own soul, that they deserve to be so forsaken. Here is now that hope that the Lord, he is declaring for a people who have to confess that they are worthy to be cast away forever and forever and to receive that greatest punishment that a man can receive in time and eternity that is to be separated from God forever and forever. Truly, he was forsaken of God, that his church, they should never be forsaken of him. Thus, here is that remedy that is fit. Here is that remedy that is suitable for those who miss God. Who miss God? Do you miss him? That is congregation where true conversion begins. In the missing of God, like Ruth. When she was far away in the land of Moab. And then the desires when she may hear of him. And the desires, they are welling up in her heart. Whether there is now a possibility that a woman, as she is a Moabitess, who is at the ends of the earth, that she may also be brought in into that blessed communion with him. True conversion, boys and girls. Do you know what that is? Then the Lord teaches you the truth. He teaches you the reality. How it is between God and your soul, that you are without him, and that you are an object of his displeasure, of his disfavor, and that you are without hope, that you are without God in this world. And that true conversion, when it begins there, then it continues to show a man the cause. Why is that? What is the cause of the separation? Why is it that the Lord, he does not speak to me? Why is it that in my heart, that I am so a man, a woman, a boy and girl just of the world. That I love nothing but the world. Everything that is perishing. And that I will perish with the world. And there is nothing in me that is good. Oh, then a man learns from step to step. When the Lord is instructing him in the guilt of sin. When the Lord is instructing him in the pollution of sin, when the Spirit shows to him the holiness of God, that he cannot have communion with sin. And yet, there is nothing that such to fear more than to be forsaken of him. David, he says, there is no soundness in my flesh, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. He says, my wounds, they stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, he says, I am bowed down. He says, I mourn all the day. And yet, do you know what then he asks for? He says, forsake me not, O God. Forsake me not. Be not far from me, O Lord. O Lord, if thou hast for me punishment, then I need to be punished. If thou hast for me chastisement, then I understand it. But forsake me not. Oh, let that not be my punishment, that thou wouldst withdraw from me, because that I cannot bear. Oh, do you feel something? What is now at the heart of that true people of the Lord? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And no answer. Do you say that too sometimes? To pray with David because the Lord Jesus, he is here praying with David. He is in his prayer quoting the Bible. You can look it up. It is in Psalm 22. Or what is our prayer? Because the Lord, he sets for us an example that our praying unto the Lord may be with the use of the scriptural prayers and the scriptural examples that we find in the Word of God. That was the cry of the true people of the Lord. And if our soul is led by the Lord, then our soul will be led also into that same cry of that church of all ages. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you ever feel something of this? By nature, we feel nothing of this. By nature, we can go on without the Lord. By nature, we can leave the Lord well enough in his place. You say he is in heaven. I am on the earth. But here is now the burden of that new life, where that new life is truly existing. That is that burden of that missing of him. The sweetness of the light of his countenance, the knowledge of his favor toward me, and the need of my soul to know it and to hear it from his own lips. And this burden that was borne by Christ himself in the greatest part of his extremity, does he not know then the toil of your heart? Does he not know then the burden of your soul, the desire of your spirit? Because it is just for such that he has borne this, that he may secure for that people that eternal communion, that eternal favor that shall shine upon that people, beginning just by moments in this life. May you receive it once, by moments in this life, the punishment for that people. That is the forsaking of the Lord that is now completely taken away in this punishment of Christ. So that the Lord says unto that people, that word that is now founded and grounded upon a rock, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. Oh, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But that promise, congregation, is not fitting, and it is not suitable for those who have no burden of the missing of the Lord in their heart. What will you do with such a promise? It means nothing to you. If we can live without the Lord here, then why can we not live with Him, without Him, in eternity? Oh, may the Lord bind this matter upon your heart, because we see how the Son of God Himself, He has cried out under this burden. And that is now the experience of hell itself. May the Lord therefore bind that matter upon our heart and cause us to ask the Lord for that beginning, for that true missing, because that true missing that causes a true seeking, and that true seeking that ends according to His promise in finding. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou who hast cried out under that missing, wilt Thou remember all those who do experience that missing within their heart this day? Oh, that Thou wouldst hear their cry, for Thou wast not heard, and that they may taste something of the fruits of Thy payment, of Thy suffering, that they may experience a little in an answer, in a token from heaven for their own poor soul, and that that price has been paid, and that that punishment has been endured, and that the Father as judge is satisfied. O Lord, could it please Thee so to receive us and to hear the cry of the needy and to save their souls when death draws nigh? Wilt Thou dismiss us with Thy blessing? Do forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. And wilt Thou be with us further in this day and in this week? Give us to keep Thy Sabbath day holy, and that Thou may watch over us in the week to come. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows, 159, 1, 2, and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.